In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Great Lent is almost upon us. So this is the fourth Sunday before Great Lent. We have three more, and on that last one will be the Sunday, Forgiveness Sunday, and we'll begin Great Lent that afternoon with our Vespers, the Sunday afternoon Forgiveness Vespers. What are we to take from this parable about the publican and the Pharisee? It's a very powerful parable, very short. Every word has deep meaning. What are we to take from it? What I see from this parable is that, well, there's a lot of things, but really it's something always hits me. You can talk about how the Pharisee was proud, but why talk about somebody that his name's going to be forgotten in the next day, in the next age? Just like the rich man, he won't have a name. Why think about such a man? We can talk about the humility of the publican, but I'll tell you what's really the most beautiful thing about this parable. Jesus Christ says, concerning the publican, the one who said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, wouldn't even lift up his head when he prayed, was well aware of his sins. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. That's the beauty of this parable. Now there is a golden medium. There's a sort of a sweet spot in which your spiritual life must reside. Too many people don't get this sweet spot. The vast majority of people don't have much compunction at all. So they're like the Pharisee. They might not judge other people as the Pharisee, but they don't really have much compunction. They don't really think about their sins very much. Or if they do, they kind of say, well, you know, I'm only human. Everybody does that, et cetera, et cetera. That's the vast majority of people, including people that walk through the doors of this church or any other. And then there are people who are so aware of their sinfulness that they become sick about it. And they consider themselves incapable of doing anything good. Both of those things are wrong. Both of those things lead to the pit of hell. We have to have the medium in the middle. We have to be like this publican. Because this publican went into the temple, didn't raise his eyes, and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which is a precursor, of course, of the Jesus prayer, isn't it? You can see how powerful the Jesus prayer is. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he went away justified, which meant that his soul had the capacity to be able to feel God. When God filled his soul and said, you are forgiven, he could be at peace. So he thought himself a great sinner, but he didn't think himself so great a sinner that God could not reach him, because there is no such sinner. The only sinner that God cannot reach is the sinner that does not reach out to God, the one who doesn't think he has sins. That person is in danger of the pit of hell. But this publican had a deep humility about himself, but also the capacity to feel God's mercy. And that's something that often is lacking. I see people on both ends of the extreme, either people that really have very little compunction about their sins, or people who feel that God won't forgive them. Both are wrong. Now, when I think of this publican, I think about the previous story, which is a true story. Now, of course, this is a parable, right? These characters in this parable don't exist. It's a story Jesus gave for our edification. The truth of the parable is absolutely evident, but this is a fictional story. However, the story before last week was not fictional at all. It's about Zacchaeus, who was a publican. He was very rich, he was very debased, and he wanted to see Jesus because there was something in his heart that was telling him, I need to change. And so he came out of the tree immediately when the Lord said, make haste, come down. He gave a feast at his house. He promised that he would give four times back anything anybody defrauded in keeping with the Jewish law, and also half of his goods to the poor. So this was a beautiful day for Zacchaeus. Salvation had come to his house. We are so enamored with this story that when we bless a house, we give a prayer about Zacchaeus, because it's a wonderful thing when we are filled with God and when we are excited and when we feel that we can make some progress, we can make changes. But then tomorrow comes. And in tomorrow, there are still our habits and there's still our weaknesses and we fall. So I think of Zacchaeus as this publican in this story who had just promised to Jesus Christ he would give everything away. And I'm sure he did in reality. He really did. But he also, implicit in this promise, was also, I will stop being the person I was. I'm not going to be rude anymore. I'm not going to be lascivious anymore. I'm not going to steal from anyone anymore. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to cultivate false friendships anymore. All the things that he did before and all the habits he had, he was going to not do them anymore. But then tomorrow came and he probably started doing some of them, because it's very rare when a person gives up their former life immediately. Even in the life of St. Mary of Egypt, which I hope all of you, if you know what's good for your soul, you'll hear this in the fifth week of Great Lent. You'll come here, you'll listen to this story as it's said aloud in the church. Even St. Mary of Egypt, who never fornicated again from the time she made her promise, she was tempted to fornication for 17 years in the desert. So it was not immediate for her either, even though she never fornicated again. She never got drunk again. She never was a glutton again. But she was tempted in her heart for 17 years until finally God delivered her from it. This is the way things happen in our life. Every single one of us, when you make positive changes in your life, you make, shall we say, you go 3 steps forward and 2 backwards. Maybe if you're fortunate, you only take half a step backward. But we still go forwards and we go backwards in our life. And this publican epitomizes this struggle, especially if you kind of concatenate the publican, this story, with the story of Zacchaeus, the real story with the fictional one. Because Zacchaeus must have gone through this exact same thing in reality. He must have gone, oh Lord, you saved me. You took me out of that tree. You showed me kindness when nobody else would. You accepted my repentance even when I wasn't even sure if I could even repent. And now what am I doing? Now I feel full of lust, or I've eaten too much, or I've had too much wine, or something. So he goes into the temple and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he can say. But because he had a heart, and I hope that you have this heart too, that had the capacity to hear God, to feel God's mercy, even though you're unworthy, then you go away justified. What does this mean? This word justified, we have the word justice from it. And nobody in America seems to know what justice is. Almost nobody understands what this word is. I go to the Texas Department of Justice, and I'll tell you what, I don't see no justice when I go to prison. And there's very little justice in the way people live. Because we have this idea that justice is where people are punished for their wrongs, or punished even if they're not wrong. I see a lot of that too. That's not what justice is in the Christian understanding. We've had, 500 years or more of people having this false god that they worship that punishes sinners and all that sort of thing? Because God has justice. Well, justice means righteousness. So when the publican came away from the temple justified, the Lord had made him righteous. Not in a magical way, not taking a wand and saying, okay, now you're righteous, just go do what you're going to do. You know, you're righteous now, it's all good, your ticket's punched. Not like that at all. But that he had swelling within his heart that he could get better. That's what it means. And he was going to get better. He wasn't going to get better all at once. Not one of us in this room gets better all at once. Not one of us. But he was going to get better. And he knew it. He had God in his heart telling him, it's going to be okay. I learned something as a nurse. The most important words a nurse says is, it's going to be okay. Really. You have all this training. You know what to do, etc., etc. But people are frightened. And you just say, it's going to be okay. And you mean it. That is what God is telling us. It's going to be okay. Now, you have to go through the struggles. You got to do all this stuff. You have to recognize your sins. And you have to say, God, be merciful to me. You have to do all that stuff. You can't just bebop along life and just kind of do stuff and not have compunction in your heart. Because then you're not even a Christian. But if you have compunction, then God says, it's going to be okay. Maybe that doesn't sound very theological, but that's what happens. God comforts the soul. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. So he comforts us. And he says, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. Yes, you are a terrible sinner. But God is going to help you. This is the message of the publican. Who cares about the Pharisee? There's a lot of Pharisees out there. The Pharisee was not saved. But the publican is saved. You and I are the publican. So what I want you to do during this Great Lent, can you feel it? I feel it. I can feel this energy happening. It's 4 weeks away, but I can feel it. It's this sort of swelling of God's grace is coming to us, because he wants us to be sort of broken down a little bit so that we can take him in. That's what this prayer is doing for the publican. He's breaking down. He's saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's not even looking up because he's unworthy. But then God puts his hand on his shoulder and says, you're going to be okay. That's what I want you to pursue during Great Lent. I want you to say the prayer of St. Ephrem, and I want you to mean it, and I want you to really feel it deeply. And I want you to come to the services, and I want you to fast as strictly as you can, and everything else. But the whole reason for all that is so that your heart can be opened up a little bit more, so that God can justify you. Because God will not justify a closed heart. He'll justify an open heart. That's what you're trying to do during Great Lent. I give this question every single year and answer it maybe a little bit differently, but to me it's the same every time. What is Great Lent for? What's its purpose? This is its purpose, so that you can open up your heart a little bit, so that God can come in a little bit more, so that you can be more justified, so that you can become more peaceful, so that you can have some stillness in your heart, something in which you were not pure, you become pure, or become more pure. Maybe not all the way pure, but at least more. That's what Great Lent is for. It's a time of real effort. It's a time of really struggling and having this idea that the publican has, this sense of unworthiness, but also that God is accessible. Yes, you should feel unworthy, absolutely. Yes, you should feel like you're the worst among sinners. But if you only feel that and don't feel God is right next to you saying, it's going to be okay, then you have not yet learned what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is feeling unworthy, knowing you're unworthy, and yet God justifies, because he justifies the humble. He gives strength to the humble. I would like to give you one other suggestion. You might think it's coming out of left field a little bit, but to me, when I read the Gospels and the services, they all kind of coalesce into one thing. So today we're celebrating the martyrs of Russia, the new martyrs of Russia. And we had a canon last night that everybody should read. It's amazing. I not only heard it last night, but I also read it as well when I was home. And it's just amazing, the stories of some of these martyrs, the things that they went through in godless Soviet Russia. I want to give you two examples that really hit me last night. And then when I read it again, they just jumped out of the page at me. You can find a dozen of them or more. There's many people named in this canon. And the reason I want to tell you these stories is because you're unworthy and you feel unworthy. And you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you're aware that, you know, you try to get better and you don't a whole lot. You're aware of those things. Well, what are you going to do about that? You're going to do what the publican did. And he did two things. Only one of them is mentioned here. One of the things is he goes into the temple and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's one of the things where he says, I have no excuses whatsoever. I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. Help me. That you have to do. But you also have to do another thing, like Zacchaeus did, like Mary of Egypt did. You have to struggle. You have to do what you're able to do. Do what you can do. That's such an important principle. I think people should literally have it tattooed on their wrist to remind them. You must do what you can do. That's important. You can't do what you can't do. But you can do what you can do. So do what you're able to do. Be active in some way. And I'm going to tell you these two stories because these people were active. And because of that, they're among the choir of the saints. There was Damascene. He was a priest, or maybe a bishop, but I think he was a priest. He was in Siberia. In Siberia, it can get cold, 40 degrees below zero in Siberia. And he was on a river, which means it was very cold, by the bank of a river. And there was another priest that was freezing because he didn't have a raso. So generally, a priest would have a podreznik, an inner covering, and an outer one. And that gives a little bit more protection from the cold, especially some of the Russian rassos are like really thick and woolen. So he gave that to the priest who was freezing. And later on, he was put on a raft, and he died on that river, freezing to death. Damascene. He was active. He did what he could do. And God rewarded him with eternal life. Which one of us would do this? I don't know. I'm sure some one of us in this room, if we were freezing in Siberia, would give our outer garment to someone next to us. If that's what you're able to do, then you better do it. Then there's another story. Andronicus of Perm, a bishop, he told his clergy, he told them to sign an oath against the godless authority. Now, it's one thing to say, I'm not with godless authority, but to really put it in writing? That took great courage. And, of course, he was killed. And then a bishop, Basil of Chernigov, came to investigate, and he was killed. They had courage. I'm sure they were frightened. Being courageous doesn't mean you're not frightened. But they did what they could do. Now, you can't go to a river in Siberia and freeze to death, nor are you likely to be arrested as of yet in our country for having an oath against some of the godlessness that's perpetuated in our country. But what can you do? I tell you all the time these things. You can pray. You can love your brother. You can love the person that crosses your path. You can do something. No matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, it doesn't matter. You have to add that effort, that activity, even if it seems insignificant to you. You add that to the beating of your breast and looking down and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you do that, then your heart is opening. You can't open your heart. God opens the heart, okay? You can have a sense of humility, sense of compunction. God can see that and he will help you. But you yourself cannot pry open your heart. It's closed much too tightly for that. But God will if he sees you doing these two things. So this is what I want you to do during Great Lent. It's 4 weeks away, but we should still be thinking of it every day. And be getting ready that you have these two things to do. One is to pray with compunction. Not just rattling off your prayers, but pray with compunction. Pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You can pray that exactly as I said it. You could pray the Jesus prayer. I recommend to everyone that we pray the prayer of Saint Ephrem every day, morning and evening at least. And try to have a more compunctionate view of your life. Try to not give yourself excuses as you might usually do. Do those things. But also, coupled with that, be active. Be active in some way. Everyone's activity might be different. Some people might go feed the poor. Some people might visit those in prison. Some people might be kind to someone that nobody's kind to at work or at school. Or listen to someone that the people normally don't listen to. Whatever you do, be active as best you can. And with those two things, then God will touch your soul. I guarantee it. He will touch your soul. He will put his hand on your shoulder and he'll say, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Isn't that what we want to hear? I want to hear that. I want to hear that about the many people I know. I don't know if they're going to be okay. God knows. We need that kind of comfort. So pursue that comfort, but pursue it in the two ways that I told you. One is to pray with deep compunction, not just rattling off your prayers, but deep compunction as best you can. If you don't know what that means, just try to. God will show you. You don't really need a teacher to be compunctionate. God will teach you. That is, you don't need a human teacher to teach you to be compunctionate. And along with the prayer and the fasting, the struggles, you also try to be more active. Look up a little bit. Maybe not when you're praying, but when you're not praying, look up and see. We have a world full of troubles. People need your help, either in great ways or small ways. It doesn't matter how big the help is. It matters that you do what you can do. If you do those two things, then your Great Lent will be truly great. And when Pascha comes, there will be grace penetrates into your heart, and it'll never leave. Grace that you never felt before. This is what I want you to do. May God help you. May God help us to be like the publican, not just to pray with compunction, but also to have a heart that accepts God so that we can be justified. God bless you and help you in all things.